Everybody ready? You have pens and papers and ready to write down. It's very, very important. Again, I'm trying to skill you and educate you to be a student of the Word. All right? So we're going to talk this morning about binding and loosing with authority. I'll give you a little bit more, give you a little bit of an overview of last week for those of you that weren't here. Last week, we talked about the power of the tongue. We came to find out that God the Father, as we all know, He created all the heavens, the earth, the stars, the moon, the sun, everything, every ant, every spider, anything you could ever imagine, anything you could look at. You must realize God created it by the spoken word. We had three words we looked at and we wrote down last week that we were to hold on to, and they were, "Then God said." God didn't speak flippantly. God spoke. First He thought it out, recognized that something is missing and it needs to be, and God began to speak, and He brought things that were not, and He made them visible. Amen? But then after He created everything, all things, then He created man. Did you ever ask yourself, why did God create everything that we see? The heavens, the earth, the stars, the moon, the sun, the galaxies, the universe. He created it all. Why did He create it all before He created us? Well, David had gained great inspiration in Psalm 19, verse 1. He said, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament declares His artistic hand." I want you to understand what God is saying there. God wants us to know that if you have any curiosity, and sometimes people have a concern, does God exist? God said, "Take a look at what you can see. I created it for you." As you look at things that are so unbelievable, I created it by my word, just for you to have a backdrop to recognize and enjoy all the glory that I've given to you. Amen? So after God had created all the things that He created, He created man. In verse 26 of Genesis 1, we came to find God created man. He said, "Let us," that's Elohim, that's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let's give man the same ability that we have." And so He says in verse 28, He said, "Let them have dominion. Let them have authority." And so man, we are the only creation God has ever created that we have the ability to speak. Do you know that? No other animal has the ability to speak. We are the only one. And God has anointed our words with power and authority. That's why He said in verse 28, "Let them have dominion over the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, over all creation, and let them subdue." In other words, have the ability to overcome and overtake anything, any obstacle that tries to get in your way. We have that kind of authority by the power of the spoken word. But because of the fact that God has placed an anointing on our words, then we are either going to be able to bring construction or we will speak destruction. That's why He said in Proverbs 18:21, "The tongue has the power of life and death, of life and or death, and you will love it and eat the fruit thereof." In other words, whatever you say, you will display. You say something bad, you say something negative, you are going to see the results of what you've said, and you're going to have to eat it. You're going to have to live it. So we've got to be like God. We have to think before we speak. Amen? And so God has given all of us the ability to create our world, the world that we want to see. But unfortunately, there's a lot of saints all over the world who are born again believers, but they don't live in a successful world. They don't speak the right language. They don't say the right things. Why is that? Because they have one foot in the church, one foot in the world. They are out there and they're getting filled with the things of the world. They come in on a Sunday and they hear the Word of God. And then you think, well, I got the Word of God in me, so I'm good to go. It doesn't work that way. There's 168 hours in a week. And if you think about it, you put 166 hours out there in the world that the world has the privilege to kind of concentrate your heart with all the things of the world, and then you give 2 hours to the things of God, who do you think is going to come out of you? What do you think is going to come out of you? The Bible makes it very clear in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So here you are with a problem, with a trial, with a struggle, with a circumstance, and then you want to see it resolved. You open your mouth to hope that you can bring some resolution. And then out of you, if you are one that you're only hearing the word on a Sunday morning and you are not reading the word, spending time with Christ, you are not walking with him, putting him first throughout the rest of your week, what is going to happen when you open your mouth? All these things of the world are going to come out. They're going to come out of you. And you know what will happen then? You are going to speak desecrating things that are going to actually, instead of bringing resolution to your problem, it's going to cause the fire of your problem to rise to a higher peak. Before you know it, you really got a storm. Amen? So that's why a lot of people are living under the circumstance instead of over the circumstance. Because you have to know the word of God. Out of the overflow of your heart, it should be the word that speaks. And God's word that speaks, and not the words of the world, of the unsaved, of the unbelievers that are trying to invoke their thoughts, their desires, and they're telling you, this is how you should do it. Don't listen to them because they haven't heard from God. You need to hear from God and speak what he's telling you. Do you ever take a dirty glass and don't clean it. Just take a dirty, filthy glass filled with mud and put it under a faucet and leave it there. You know what will happen? I've tried it. It was a scientific science project. Water comes in and keeps coming in. Don't take it out away from the spigot. And after a while, all the filth and all the impurity and every bacteria that's in that glass will bubble out. And after a period of time, you'll have crystal clear water and you can drink it. That's what happens when you put the word in you. When the word goes in, the dirt comes out. The filth comes out. The addiction comes out. The immorality comes out. The debauchery comes out. All the gossiping stuff that this world has to offer, it'll all come bubbling out of you. Just keep on putting the word inside of you. Amen. And when you do that, you will rule your world and your world will not rule you. So God said, let them rule. Let them rule. In other words, he said, I'm giving you your own decision. You can either create a world apart from me that is going to be a world of destruction and unholiness, and it's going to be debauchery before your eyes. Or you can walk with me and have my word come out of you. And when my word comes out of you, because you and I are joined together at the heartstring, then you are going to see that you're going to have the kind of world that you want to live in. You are going to create your own world by the power of your tongue. Church, I want you to know that we have been set free. Everybody say amen to that. Amen. The cross of Jesus Christ has set us free. We are no longer under the ownership and directiveness of Satan himself. He has no authority over us. He can't do anything more to us unless you allow him to. But he is absolutely untied, untethered from us at the cross of Jesus Christ. Which means technically now when you mess up, you can't turn around and say, well, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. He doesn't have any rule. He doesn't have any reign over you. Because once you become a child of God, God has given you his word. You have now been given an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. Let he that has an ear hear what the Spirit is saying to you. And then you echo it. And when you regurgitate what's been placed inside of you, you are going to see you will be set free because of the fact that you are not harnessed by Satan any longer. Amen. But yet there are people, even though they are set free because they are born again believers, but they're still living as if they are oppressed. They're still living as slaves. They're still living in poverty. Why? Because they haven't learned how to activate God's word. You activate the word of God and you have the power of the tongue to bring life. And they don't know how to do that yet. So we're going to be looking at that. And I want to only talk to you for a few moments on binding and loosening. What does that actually mean? Well, I want you to turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 16, starting with verse 15. Jesus said to his disciples, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said to him, good boy, You are right on. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are, everybody say, Peter. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you, Peter, bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you, Peter, loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So Peter is there with the crew. He's there with the boys. Jesus said, who do you say that I am? Peter turns around without any hesitation. He gives an absolute declaration of who Jesus really is. He said, you are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the sent one of God. You are the Son of Almighty God. And Jesus blessed him and blessed all the other disciples. And then Jesus turned to Peter and said, because of this, I no longer am going to call you what your surname is on this earth. Now that you know who I am, let me tell you who you are. I'm no longer going to call you Simon Bar-Jonah. Now I'm going to call you by your real name from heaven. You are Petros. See, we look at the English name Peter, but his actual name that Jesus gave him is Petros. It's an Aramaic name, which means a small stone. And I am going to take you, Peter. You are going to be the pastor over what I'm about to build, because I am going to take the rest of my disciples. They too are part of the Petros operation. And I have others. In John chapter 10, he said, I have other sheep in other pastures that I must go for. He was talking about the many centuries and decades and years to come that Jesus was going to go and win the lost. You are, and I are part of that. We are Petros. We are small stones. He said, I'm going to take a vast amount of small stones, and I am going to bind them and knit them and love them together with my love, and they are going to build my empire, my entity called the Ecclesia. The Ecclesia is my church. I am going to build my church, he says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen? You know when it's a church of God, the church that Christ built, because Satan has no rule and reign over that church. If you see a church that's falling apart, falling at the pieces, falling apart at the very foot of the church, and the churches are closing. There's approximately 100 churches throughout the world closing every month in the world. Why? Because a lot of those churches, they are not built under the statute of Jesus Christ. They are built under the announcement of men who have chose to start a church on their own, and they're preaching heresy, they're preaching hypocrisy, and they think that they can get away with it forever. But then all of a sudden, God comes in and he snuffs that church out. That's when you see a church failing or having failed, it was because it was not built by Jesus Christ. And the second other reason why it could be, there are people in that church that are born-again believers that love God, but they don't know how to activate the authority of God's word. And so because of that, they are seeing that they can't put the fire out when the enemy comes and he's trying to bring destruction. Therefore, they don't know what to do. And it's because of that there's a diminishing of the church, but it will not be snuffed out, because God will restore. He will teach. Somebody has to go and teach them how to activate, how to bind, and how to loose. What does it mean by all that? You're going to learn that this morning. Amen. Jesus said, and I will build my church. I will build my ecclesia. The word ecclesia was used in the Old Testament. It was a description describing the general council of the people of a society. More so, it would be like a parliament or a congress. It was the congress of a society. They would come together at the gate. That's where they would manufacture the laws and also enact the laws or carry out the laws. Well, I want you to understand that we as a church, we are a spiritual congress. If I were to ask you, why do you come to church? A lot of you would say, because that's where I come to receive spiritual biblical inspiration. There's nothing wrong with that. But the more so what God wants you here for, why he wants you not to forsake the assembly, is because you are here as a spiritual congress. You are here because heaven has already finished the creation of the rules and regulations of every word that was going to be spoken from heaven. You and I are here to enact those words, to bring them out, to breathe them out into the world, so that we could see that our world will be absolutely created by the word of God and not by the word of man. Amen? So that's what we're here for. I want to also say this. You are not here to be able to boast and say, well, that's where I went. That's where I'm going to church. I like that church. I chose to go there. No, you didn't choose to come here. I didn't choose to be here. God had to wrestle me to get me here. God had to probably wrestle some of you to get you here. This is the local garden. If you think about what God did with Adam and Eve, God took Adam and Eve, and he didn't say and stand back, said, what garden do you wish to go in? He took them and he put them in the garden. God is in the leadership. He orchestrates. He took us and he put us in this local assembly or this local garden. This is where he wanted us. The moment you got saved, for some of you, he didn't leave you out there to attend for yourself. He knew that you had to be armored with his word. So he brought you here so that you could hear the unadulterated word of Almighty God. Amen. And you know why he brought you here? You know why we go into various assemblies where we should stay? It's for this reason. This is an ammo depot. This is an ammunition depot. You have to understand, when we come and you hear the word on a Sunday morning, it's not for you just to applaud the word and say, well, that was a good word. That was a great word. And go home and forget about what you heard. You have to write down the scriptures that you have heard. Write them down so that you can revisit them when you go home. Why is that important? So that word will be ingrained in your heart because of this reason. Isaiah 46:10, here's what Isaiah says. God knows the end from the beginning. Listen to what he's saying here. God spoke these words through Isaiah. I know the end of a matter from the beginning of the matter. Before you were born, God knew everything about your entire life. He knows the day you're going to die. And God also knows when you come to church and you are receiving divine manna, the divine revelation. I'm not saying every word that comes out of my mouth is God inspired. You know, that's why I always say, you check it out for yourself. Read the word. See if it's in there. That's why I try to make sure I put all my scriptures up so you don't think I'm making something up. Amen? I want you to know if something comes out of my mouth, because the Bible says we prophesy in part, we know in part. Sometimes the bones come out, okay? So you have to spit out the bones and receive the meat. Make sure you know that it's truth. It's God's word. I try to stay transparent, and I pray that the other people as well will do the same, that you can receive God's word. He wants you to receive his unadulterated word for a reason. Because what he knows is somewhere down the road of this coming week, I don't know if it's going to be Monday, I don't know if it's going to be Tuesday, I don't know what day it might be, God knows that the enemy is going to set up a booby trap for you. He has a landmine already placed. Matter of fact, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, it says, because of the evil day, there is a day where the enemy is going to be given permission by God to come and test you. God knows that you're going to have a landmine. He knows you're going to have a fire that's going to be brewing. You're going to be whistling along and you're going to have a good time, a good week. Then all of a sudden, you're going to step on that landmine and all hell is going to break loose. But what God has done, he's already prepared you. He said, listen, I'm giving you information here on the first day of the week. You don't just applaud it. You write it down. You store it in. Because when that fire starts brewing, you can't turn around. If you don't have the word in you, you're going to go, oh my God. That's the only thing God's going to hear out of your mouth, his name. Because now you're going to run to this person, that person. You're going to run around like a chicken with his head cut off wondering, how am I going to fix this? What am I going to do? The doctor said this. My children are doing that. The judge said this. What am I going to do? You don't go around like that. God has already given you words. You open up your mouth and you speak the word and you pray that you're not a person that only comes on a Sunday to hear the Word of God, but you have the Word stored inside of you. Out of the overflow of your mouth, you have the gushing of living water that's going to put out the flames of that circumstance in your life. Amen? Hallelujah. So that's, I want you to know, when you come in here, God is giving you the equipment for something you haven't even seen yet. Because He knows the end from the beginning. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So when you come in here, you're not going to hear the same stuff you hear out there in the world. Out there in the world, they have their own government. But this is the government of Almighty God. He says, I'm feeding you. I'm wanting you to take a hold of my word. Because I've given you the power of life and death. And you can make your own decision. You can speak even though you don't see anything good. You can speak good. You can speak life. And when you begin to speak it, you will see. My daughter kind of spoke about this morning. When she stood on it, she stood on it. And she would say things that I would try to debate her on. Come on, honey. You can't believe that God's going to do that for you. We're talking about her job now, okay? God's not going to give you a job to stay at home. You got to go and you got to get a job maybe closer than going all the way to Boardman. I was the devil's advocate because I'm trying to, that's my daughter. I can't, you know, trying to give her some genius mind here. Don't just be hoping and hoping. She wrote everything down and journalized it. Everything she journalized came to pass. So I've learned from my daughter. And I learned from other people along the way. That's why the Bible says that we are to sharpen one another. You open your mouth and you speak, you are going to set the beauty of what you're looking for. It's going to come to pass, providing you have the word inside of you. Speak God's word and don't speak what the world says. Amen? You know the difference between the world and the word? One letter, L. Think about it. W-O-R-D is God's word. W-O-R-L-D is the world. Tell the L to get the L out of here. And then you have the word, right? You have the word. When you have the word, that's all you need. I will say things that Brother Ron could never say. And then you will be able to have the word and you speak it and you're going to see resolve. Amen? So anyhow, Jesus turned around and he said this in verse 18. He said, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The gates were a place in the Old Testament where the judges came, sat, and they actually rendered judgment over the society of the day. But when Jesus was saying gates, he was talking about the governmental agency of the devil. And let me just tell you real quick here, and I'm not going to be talking very long this morning. I know we're all going to be hungry. But let me tell you about the governmental agency of the devil. How many of you realize Satan has a game plan, a game film on you? He has your game film. He has my game film. He knows our tendencies. He knows everything about us. Believe it or not, I told you before, he's smarter. He's smarter than anything you can give him credit for. He was fourth in command in heaven, right? You cannot beat him just by human application because of the fact that he was brilliant. He's absolutely brilliant because he was created by a brilliant God who put him over all the cherubims and seraphims, over all of God's angelic hosts. That's who he is. Amen. He has your film, your game film. He has my game film. You know, if you were a football coach and you were going to be playing this coming Saturday against an opponent, did you play football, Steve? Then test me on this. The coach will make sure starting Monday, because next Saturday you're going to be playing, he's going to make sure that his players are strong physically, emotionally, and mentally to be able to endure the stamina of going head to head and the difficulty and the crassness of the game. It's a hard game. He's going to make sure that his players are up for the challenge. But then he's going to sit them down and he's going to have a game film on the opposing team that's going to come in. He wants to find out, and he wants his team to find out, where's their weakness. Is it the backfield on their defense? Is it the corner, the defensive cornerbacks? Is it the guard? Is it the tackles? He's going to look for their weakness, and then he will put together and manufacture a game plan so as to kind of pick away at their weakness. Well, I'm here to tell you that Satan has a game film on us. He knows that small little thing that'll so easily entangle us. That small little thing that'll bring us to our knees. He knows your weakness. He knows what's going to bring you down, and he's going to exploit it to the benefit of his power so as to use you for his undivided purpose. Amen? But God tells us, but if you will stay true to me, stay true to what I'm building, which is my ecclesia, my church, you will have my word, you will have my authority, you will speak my word, and the enemy, it doesn't matter how many gates he opens up to try to bring offense to you, I will shut those gates on your behalf. Can you say amen? And God, Jesus said, to assure this, that my people are not tricked, to assure that Satan will not be able to usurp my power with his power, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Jesus said, I'm going to give my people keys. Look at verse 19. I'm going to give them the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Oh my. I'm giving you keys to the kingdom of heaven. Did you ever get in a hurry? You lost your keys? Did you ever lose a key to your car? And you have an appointment to go to and you can't find the keys? And then you blame everybody and anybody because you can't think that you would have lost the keys. Somebody took your keys, right? Did you ever lose the keys to your house? Can't find the keys. Did you ever lose the keys to an office that you are supposed to? You know, all these things you have lost the key to, you have legitimate access to go in. But you can't get in because you lost the keys. I've come all the way out here, and I forgot my key to come into the church one day. And Michael had the audacity not to be home when I called on him five times. You have access to get in, but you don't have the key to get in until you find the key. Do you ever notice also that when you're looking for a key, you always find it in the last place you look, right? Why don't we look in the last place first? Then we would have all that extra time that we wasted by looking here, there, and everywhere. Why don't we just look in the last place? You also wouldn't take a key and give it to a stranger. You wouldn't give a stranger your house key knowing you're not going to be home. Say, go ahead, make yourself at home. You wouldn't give a key to your car and say, go ahead, drive my car. And you don't even know the person. Why? Because you know they'll probably steal your car and rip you off blind in your home, right? So you don't give somebody you don't know free access into your property that is yours. Well, I want you to know Jesus has the same attitude. He said, and I will give them. Everybody say them. He's talking about those who are my children. He's not giving keys to the people of the world. They don't know him. He doesn't know them because they've not made a dedication to him. But he says, you who have accepted me as Lord and Savior, part of this building process, you are my Petros, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And if you can use those keys, it will stop every whim that the devil tries to destroy you with. Now notice, these keys are not keys to the earth. They are keys to heaven. Amen? So if you are trying to use an earthly solution to get rid of an earthly pollution, you are going to find that that fire is just going to keep on brewing and brewing and brewing. Those keys are for a heavenly door to be opened. Amen? When I traveled, I had a stack about this thick. Those little plastic keys you get from the hotels? I never gave them back. Churches would always put me up in these nice hotels, and as long as I had a key, I had free access. Well, one day, I can remember one time I went to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and they gave me a key to a very, very plush hotel. And so because the church paid for 6 days at this hotel, they gave me the key at the front desk, and now that key obliged me to go into my room. Pushed it in, it went click, click, the green light come on. I had free access to go and use the room of this kingdom, of this hotel kingdom. Now, I also had with this key, as long as I held on to it, I could use this key to use all the other perks that they had on the property. I could use the gymnasium, and I went in there and looked at the machinery, and I opened up the pool, And I went in there and seen how warm the water was with my hand. I had opportunity to use all the things that they had on the premises that they owned. They gave me the freedom to go ahead and just have full access, providing I had their key. And I enjoyed it for that entire week. It was in the November, kind of cold time. And so I was always dressed with a jacket. Well, 2 weeks later, I'm back home after I was done ministering there. And 2 weeks later, I go to Des Moines, Iowa. They, too, put me up in a beautiful hotel. And so they give me at the front desk, they give me the key. I use it for the door. I get in my room. I have access. I go out because I'm hungry. I went out. It was a Saturday. I didn't have to preach till Sunday morning starting for the week. And I went ahead. I went out to eat. I came back, and I was just going to enjoy. I was going to watch football, read a little bit. I used the key, and it didn't work. And I was getting a little annoyed, and I thought, I've got to go down five floors. I've got to get on the elevator. I've got to go demagnetized. And I gave it to the girl, and I said, listen, at the front desk, I said, this key, I just got it. I said, it demagnetized. She said, no, it didn't. This ain't the right key. This is not a key to our hotel. I had the key in my pocket from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Well, the Tulsa key didn't work in Des Moines, Iowa. And they wouldn't accept that they would use my key from Tulsa to have given me access to Des Moines, Iowa's hotel. You cannot move with the wrong key. You only have the keys that God gives you. When you try to use other substitute keys, they don't work. A lot of people come to church to get the right key, which is the Word of God. But when they go and they have a problem, they have an issue, and they're not really spending time with God, putting Him first and foremost in all things and acknowledging Him, then all of a sudden, they use man's keys, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work whatsoever. You've got to speak the word of Almighty God. Matter of fact, James tells us in James chapter 3, verse 17, the wisdom that is from above is pure. God's word is pure. But he said in verse 15, James says, but there is a wisdom that does not descend from above, but it is earthly, sensual, and demonic. James actually says he equates man's wisdom or earth's wisdom with demons. But God's wisdom is pure. So if you are having a problem and you don't know God's word and you are going to try to go to the unsaved, to those who don't know God, that's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:17, come out from among them, touch of no unclean thing. Don't be ingrained with them, because when they start speaking into your life, you shout that word will nullify God's word, and then before you know it, you're speaking what your buddy told you to say, or what your unsaved aunt told you to say. When you hear those words and you speak them, they don't work. It doesn't work. There's only one word that's going to bring the fire under control. And that word is God's word, the heavenly key that he gives to you. Amen. So how do you rule your world? It's with God's key. Look at Matthew chapter 16 again. Look at verse 19. I'll give you keys. Everybody say keys. Write that down. They're not just a key. They are keys. They are keys. Why is he saying that? He's saying that because in verse 18, he says, I'm going to build my church, and the gates, everybody say gates, the gates of hell, the governmental agency of Satan, he's calling it gates. There's not just one gate. There are many gates from hell. So Jesus, knowing that, he said, I want you to know something. Satan has a lot of gates, and he is going to bring a lot of different types of turbulence your way. And when those turbulences come, he's opened up a floodgate from hell to try to drown you out, to try to get you to feel you that there's no God. He has left me. Where's he at? Jesus says, all you have to do is have my word in you. When that gate opens, or this gate opens, or this gate opens, take the key that is already in you that I've given you in advance, a corresponding key, it'll close that gate. It'll close that gate because the battle's not yours. The battle's mine. But when you try to use your own insufficiency, when you try to use your own words, you have taken the battle out of my hands. You're trying to fix the unresolved issue by human application. And the words that come from the wisdom of men and of the earth is demonic. That's what James tells us. It's demonic. Not going to work. Satan will laugh in your face because he's not going away, and that gate is not going to close because you're not using God's key that Jesus Christ wishes to give to you. Amen? You must understand, we are ambassadors. Do you know that you are an ambassador of Jesus Christ? You know an ambassador of the United States? They are people that are citizens of the United States, but they live far away in another country. And they don't dare, those ambassadors that live in a faraway country, they don't dare speak their own thoughts or try to work out indecisions on their own. If they tried it on their own and didn't listen to what the home Congress was saying to them, they'd be in trouble. They'd be called back on the carpet. No, they have taken the words that have already been manufactured as law and given to the ambassadors out there in foreign lands, and they only are to speak and give the details of what the homeland said for them to do. And when they do, then the homeland has their back. You and I are in this world. If you've accepted Christ, you are in this world. You are not of this world. We are of a different society. We are of the kingdom of Almighty God, which is in heaven. Then God wanted to assure us of that. That's why he said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, he said, I have made you to be seated with Christ Jesus in where? Because that's your citizenship. That's where you belong. But right now, you are on earth. And while you are here on any given Sunday, rather than applaud the message, write it down, because I want you to receive my words that when you go out of here, and that one moment where the enemy will put a landmine down, you will use my words, which is a key, a corresponding key to the problem, and it will put it out. It'll put it out. But if you try to do it on your own, you have broken your ambassadorship with Christ. Because now you say, oh, don't worry about it. I don't need to know his word. I'll do it my way. Do it your way. And see what happens. Every gate from hell will be opened, and you will drown. You will be absolutely buried, if you will. Amen. Anybody like to go scuba diving? I know Ron scuba dives all the time. Anybody else want to go scuba? Anybody else ever go scuba diving? Never, ever, ever. I have a son-in-law. He was born and raised in Georgia. It's where my daughter and family, her family lives. And he always wants me to go scuba diving. He didn't go ice skating. He didn't go skiing. He didn't go do all the stuff, the hunting, because they don't have the weather for it. But ever since he was a kid, he went scuba diving. That's all he ever does. He wanted me to go with him, and I said, no, thank you. Because I've always thought of the fact that I put the oxygen tank on, adjust the mask, and go over backwards, and there's a great white shark ready for supper. I know one thing for sure. I'm on dry land, and no shark is going to bite me. I'm good to go. But you know what? People want to go scuba diving. You know what they do, though? They want to go into another atmosphere where we're not supposed to be. I don't think anybody should be out in the ocean. It's okay to swim at the shore if you want. I don't even do that. But they want to be out in the middle of the ocean, down deep. And so for them to do it, they have to take the atmosphere of where we're supposed to be. God has created us to breathe air. You don't see a fish coming out of the water and walking around on the earth because the fish would die, right? And so we have to take oxygen. We have to compress the oxygen in the oxygen tanks, put the little adapter in your mouth, breather in your mouth, and adjust your mask. Then you dive into the water. And you enjoy, I guess, whatever you want to enjoy as a scuba diver. And you're breathing in and out the atmosphere of where you're from, right? And you breathe it out under the water. But then when you see that your gauge is getting low, you got to get out of the water. You got to go get a refill. Because you can't live under the water if you don't have what you have up here to bring it down there. You're going to die. Well, in biblical perspective, we are receiving what God has given to us from heaven. And we breathe it in. And now we are here as ambassadors on this earth. We are to breathe out only what God has given to us. Don't breathe out anything else. And when you find it, I don't have any more to say. I don't have any more of the word to say. Then it's time to go get a refill. It's time to go make sure that you get your heart filled with the word of God again. Therefore, you will see that you will have the ability to overcome any situation. So Jesus basically said, I give to you. You didn't have to deserve it or earn it or any such thing. You don't have to merit it. I give to you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, all you have to do is open up your mouth and speak it. And when you speak what I've given you to speak, it will shut the gate of what hell has thrown your way. Amen? And then he says, Jesus said, at the last verse, he said, and I give to you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, here it is. Here it is. First of all, where's the binding and loosening taking place? In heaven? No, on earth. Who's doing it? We are. So if you're going to do it, you got to know what it means, right? To bind, the actual word to bind means to restrict for a season. To loose means to release for a season. Well, what are you binding and what are you loosening? And why only for a season? Because you have to understand, first of all, Satan has seasons to attack you. He can't attack you on a constant mode. God will only give you as much as you can handle, and myself too. So what is happening here? What are we supposed to be binding? What are we supposed to be loosening? The Word of God says in the original Hebrew, it says the Word, W-O-R-D, of God is the Logos of God. And that's a Greek word, and logos means image. When God gives you his word, he's giving you an image. When God tells you you are saved, he gives you an image that you are saved from all the possibilities that could come your way. When he tells you you are healed of cancer, he wants you to see it in its absolute existence before it actually happens. That's by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the realization of the unseen thing. You begin to see the unseen before it comes into visibility. Follow me? Am I losing anybody here? So logos is the image that God gives to you. Satan also gives you a word. His word is desecration, sickness, disease, divorce, confusion, despair, whatever. His word is also his logos, his image. So what Jesus is saying, whatever you bind on earth, you use my word in conjunction with the gate that is open. When you open up your mouth and speak my word, you will bind the image of Satan and you will release the image of God. And Jesus said, and when you do that, whatever you're doing on the earth, because you are walking with me, I got your back. I am the homeland. You are my ambassador. You are doing exactly what I told you to do. And because you opened up your mouth and you are now participating with me, I have your back. So whatever you bind on earth, I'm going to bind in heaven. Whatever you loosed on earth, I'm going to make sure you are set free. I'm going to make sure Satan has no ability to overcome you. Amen? And I leave you with this. I asked the Lord, show me something that I can give them that will affirm what I said here. And here it is. In the book of 1 Kings, you come to find that Elijah the prophet was a powerful man of God. He had 7 great miracles that were performed through his life simply by speaking. And God, of course, gave him an incredible anointing. He was also a man, he did not live out there in the world like the rest of society. He was a man that was thriving to move with the Spirit of the Lord. Wherever the Spirit of God was moving, Elijah was moving with the Lord. Well, it came to a place where here comes King Ahab. King Ahab was the king of a northern section of Israel. Israel was split in two. And King Ahab was a Jewish man, and at one time honored the God of heaven and earth, but here, unfortunately, he married a Sidonian woman by the name of, anybody know? Jezebel. He married Jezzy. And Jezzy had a lot of authority over him because she had the spirit of sorcery. Remember last week I told you about the spirit of sorcery, divination. She had a spirit of divination. And because of her powerful inclination from hell, she was able to take this man Ahab and position him as the king over the northern section of Israel. And he had the wealth and abundance overflowing beyond that of being the king. He also owned hundreds and hundreds of thousands of acres of prime land that he could actually plant barley and wheat, and he made a lot of money from that. But what he did, he no longer honored the God of all heaven and earth. He was now worshiping the gods of the Sidonian people. And so with all, also what he did, he got the men that were under his domain, some 10, 20,000 Jewish men, and he caused them to no longer worship the God of all heaven and earth, and to worship the same way, the Sidonian gods. When Elijah had found out about this, Elijah confronted him. He went face to face with him, and look what Elijah says. Elijah says in 1 Kings chapter 17, it's not up there, you don't have to put it up. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, before whom I stand, before whom I am in total oneness with." You follow me? He didn't just say, "Well, I just happened to come along. What are you doing?" No, he said, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I am connected at the heartstrings with, there shall not be dew nor rain these many years, except at my word. I'm destroying you right now." And the word lets us know immediately on the next verse, God substantiated what Elijah said. He bound the dew and the rain and the imagery of wealth and abundance of Ahab, and he bound that image on earth, and God bound it in heaven. God closed the heavens according to the words of Elijah. You follow me? And then finally, 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1, "And it came to pass after 3.5 years that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, 'Go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth.' He said to Elijah, 'You're my man. You are my ambassador. You go and tell him what I tell you to say.'" And Elijah, it was a communication going both ways. First, Elijah bound the rain and the dew, and God was able to do and substantiate what Elijah said. 3.5 years later, then God said, "You go and confront the man and let him know that I'm about to send the rain." And by that time, Ahab was a broken, broken man. Amen? That's the power that God wishes to give to us. So you want to rule your world? You want to have a world that you delight in? A world that is not filled with chaos and divorce and financial disarray and bad health and what have you? It's up to you. The tongue has the power of life and death. You need to learn that you, no matter how bad the circumstance looks, you need to bind it in the name of Jesus. You can't just say that. You have to bind it by the words that Christ gives to you. When Christ gives you words to say, you say them. It will drown out and shut that gate. And when that happens, Christ will have your back. He will do what's necessary to give you the relief and the healing that you need. Can you say amen?